Succession number 28896, reel 14.
Mr. Blewett, reel 14. When were you informed officially that you were going abroad? Did they tell you?
Well, what happened was I was due a leave, the 3-monthly thing. And I was due a leave and I went in the office and told them. And they said, well, we haven't had no notification yet. He said, but this was the officer, and he said, no, we are expecting to be going abroad shortly. Everybody will be getting embarkation leave anyway. So I said, does that mean I'm going to lose my 2 weeks leave? Well, he said, well, we'll just have to hang on a bit. And I thought, well, we get our embarkation leave anyway, so that's all right. But Mr. Churchill, in his wisdom, it got us, we didn't know at the time, but it got us allocated for the North African invasion, and it was supposed to be kept a big secret. And there was no good sending people on embarkation leave to tell everybody we were going abroad. I suppose it's, this is when the keep secret thing was on the boards, you know, hush, don't tell the enemy and all that. So all in all, I didn't get my leave, and we didn't get embarkation leave. It was just one day, they come round and, well, the night before, pack your kit, all the lot. And we were going to march up to the train at Paisley. We still didn't know what was going on. But don't take your kit off, because we're not going very far, which was good as saying we're only going to Goorock anyway, which wasn't far away. We went up to Goorock. There was the little lighter things to take it out to the ship. And I always remember the name of the ship was the Cameronia. I just happened to glance as we got there. So when we got all aboard, they were all the same thing. It apparently had happened before to some of the company. Oh, we're going on another scheme. They used to call it a scheme. We're going on another scheme. We'll be going up round Scapa Flow, aren't we, and then making a landing. And I thought, well, making a landing? We ain't got no lorries. It's just a troop ship, you know. But anyway, we got down. We were really down to the bottom of the ship. And I remember thinking to myself, well, if a torpedo or anything hits us, I said, we have no chance, you know, right at the bottom.
Before we go on, how did you feel yourself about going abroad?
Well, I suppose I was a bit excited at the time. I was more annoyed about not getting any leave. That was the main thing. But I thought, well, we'll have to go abroad sometime, so, you know.
Have they issued you with any kit? I mean, you were going to a hot climate, weren't you?
Well, we didn't know. That was the thing. When we got on board ship, we still had the same old khaki thing on. And next morning, well, during the night, we set off during the night. You know, there was one or two things. Well, we're moving. Looking out, you know, and you see the lights disappearing. Next day, when we were, all you could see around was just the water, no land or nothing. And they used to send an orderly to the cookhouse to get your bits and pieces, whatever, and share it out amongst.
What were the eating arrangements?
Well, it varied. You'd get a boiled egg one morning, but all in all, it wasn't too bad. Remember what it was, but you used to get different variation.
No, I was thinking in terms of where did you eat. Can you describe the deck that you were actually on, which you say was down?
And we had a mess table. There was a mess table there. I used to sleep on it. There was no. You had a mattress or whatever. Somebody were lucky enough to get hammocks. But when out, there's just a bit of a mattress. And when I say about that, you know,
a couple of inches.
And just sleeping on the floor, anywhere they can get. But now, commandeered my place on the mess table, so it was all right. The only thing was sometimes rolling, you were rolling off. But all in all, it wasn't too bad.
Was it crowded?
It was packed, absolutely packed. You could lucky to find it. Some of them were said, "Well, I'm not staying here," and they went up on the deck, stayed up on the deck, and then that was frowned upon, and we were told you couldn't sleep on the deck, and not at that particular time anyway. So it was quite packed, and you were going to the toilets and things like that. The heads, as they call them.
Did they smell a bit?
They did that. And there seemed to be water on the floors, as you know, splashing about on the, and people being sick. It wasn't the place to be, you know. But you had to go, so that was it. We set sail, and we were going. We were quizzing the crew, but they said they didn't know. And then we used to have to go up on the morning on the deck for PT exercises and whatnot, keep you occupied. And then the naffy would be open, and you'd get in the queue to go around for your naffy, which the queue right round the ship. So we had to, the only way we could be sure of getting anything, we had to take turns. Four of us by this time, could piled up with this other lad, and it was four of us used to take turns getting the queue and being there for an hour, and then another one had come along, you know, take his place. It was the understood thing, like you couldn't get, and you'd get round to the naffy. I don't think they called it a naffy, but
canteen.
Get down the canteen, and the chap, you know, there was two or three of them. I used to always think that was a good job to have, you know, and you could buy whatever they had. You could buy. I bought a pipe for, I don't know why, so I thought it would be good. I never smoked, but I thought I'd have this pipe and this baccy. And after a couple of hours, I think I chucked it over the side. Waste of time. But you could buy stuff like tins of fruit, little small tins of fruit.
Could you get
cigarettes?
Beer and spirits?
Not beer, no. Never seen any beer or spirits. You could get, you could buy cigarettes, but they were mostly American. Sweet Caparel, I remember, was the name of. And, like I say, I wasn't a smoker anyway, so if I could get a bit of chocolate, I was quite happy.
On the morning when you were awoken, when you woke up, did you have to clear your deck of hammocks and
Not really. It was just a question of getting off the table so that anybody else can get on and eat. And like I say, the orders used to come around with these two Dixies. Sometimes the crew used to come around with these Dixies full of boiled eggs, which they used to sell for twopence a piece. That was a racket for them, like, as well. But, you just used to sort of clear it off, sit down where you could. And
you did all your meals down there?
Yeah, get your meals down.
What about keeping the decks clean? Were you involved in keeping the...
No, we didn't. They had these... the crew used to do whatever they had. There's also another big thing that come on. We were introduced to... We were introduced to pitch and toss with the company, and when we got on board this ship... Crown and anchor. For the gamblers. I used to have a look to see, and nobody seemed to do a lot of winning, so I never bothered with it. You'd get a pack of cards before, or you'd play a solo. I used to like to play a solo. When you were doing nothing, but you had to do this PT and whatnot, and I was supposed to listen to lectures. But everybody was interested in where are we going. And the ship went due west all the time. We were our navigators amongst us. Oh, we're going west. Right, where the hell is west? It's going to America. Oh, we were going to America. Take part in victory parades and God knows what. You know, it was stupid at the time. But that was the idea. And then when we got so far out, they changed direction. But there was one thing I always remember. We got so far, and then the convoy seemed to... There was corvettes with us. No destroyers. We never seen any destroyers. There was these corvettes, which were like little toy boats, you know, compared to us with these troopers. And we stopped. Our boat stopped. The rest went sailing on. What? They all thought we conked out, you know. Oh, we're getting ready for it now. Because, you know, there were supposed to be submarines about. But what had happened, there was somebody had appendicitis on the boat. And of all the troopers and people that were on, there was no doctor. So what happened was this: one of the Navy corvettes come, I say close, maybe about 100 yards away from us. And a doctor, a Navy doctor, he put into a rowing boat, and they were rowing across, about eight of them, rowing across this boat to where we were. You know, sometimes they'd be on the top, and then... And I thought, well, there must be an easier way for that. I thought they'd be coming across and sending him across on this belt system, you know, the ship's boys thing. Anyway, they got right alongside the ship. He climbed up the ladder, the sort of ladder, rope ladder now. He climbed up the ladder with his gear, and they just tootled off back to the ship. And we were anxious for them to get back so that we could get on. Didn't like the idea of being on our own, you know. We're going to get it here, keep your eyes open. And we've no way where we were going to go down again. But anyway, it passed off that, and we carried on. And then they started the ship's drill. They started it actually before this, but they started.
What was that?
Well, you had to go to a boat station, with the lifeboats, and you had to go to a certain place. And the first day we went up, and just thought it was a bit of fun going up. Now, you had to have your life jackets on, which they weren't jackets, they were just round your neck, tied round it. The big thing, what they were saying, when you got your lecture, hold on to your... if you have to jump in the water, don't just jump as you are, because this thing will come up and break your neck. So you have to hold it down. So you were nipping up to your boat station, and then they got clever. After about once you'd found out where you had to go, then they started putting obstructions across the gangways when you're going up, and they had military police there to stop you. You'd go up and they'd say, right, you can't go any farther, the gangway's supposed to be under fire, or you couldn't pass. You have to find another way around. Well, by the time you found another way around, you'd get on. Well, in my case, me and a couple of my mates, by the time we got round there, and whoever's in charge of the boat said, congratulations, you're going down with the ship. You know, you should have been here 10 minutes ago. So we can't. That's not the point. You're supposed to make your own way. So I used to often think that if anything had happened, like, we wouldn't have had a cut nails chance being on the bottom deck. So
did you have ship's inspections by the officers of the ship that come round you?
Just on a morning, when you used to do your PT, that was as much inspection as you got. But then come the great day, they said, when we were told where we were going, we were going on the North African invasion. And it'll be so and so and so and so. And so somebody said, spoke up and said, North Africa? Well, it'll be hot there. When are we going to get our KDs? Oh, it, at this time of the year, it won't be hot. So we were still more or less in Wonderland. And then we went through one night. Somebody said, oh, come on and look. And of course, all the portals were all blocked off, others being down below. And so we're going up and having a look, and we're going through the Straits of Gibraltar. Well, on the other side was Tangiers, which was neutral. And you could see all the lights, cars and whatnot, with the headlights. And on the other side, it was black. What the hell are we on, you know? And somebody said, oh, there's a rock, Gibraltar. We're going through the strait. So then we thought, oh, well, now we will have to keep our eyes open. Going there. And then I think it would be about, I think it was the next day, when we pulled into, we slowed down, and we were off Algiers. And then the rumours started flying about again. Then they pulled in. We were getting our, we'd had our breakfast, and looking out to see if we'd moved any. And apparently at that time there was big goings on, talks and whatnot between the Yanks and. We'd never seen any Yanks. Well, we'd seen them in Paisley, but we'd never seen any on our ship or anything like that. They'd come over on their own. And apparently the bigwigs were having conferences with the French people to unoppose a landing. But that was history. They'd just come down one later on. We were all ready for hope, waiting for our tea, and right, we're disembarking.
Just before that, had they, you mentioned lectures, had they told you, when you knew where you were going, had they told you what to expect, or how to treat the natives, or that kind of thing, prior to landing?
Well, the more or less said, they hoped they would be friendly, but we had to expect the worst. And we were saying, well, what about our lorries? Where's the lorries? Oh, they were coming a different route. They had gone down to Liverpool. And they were coming over. That was another thing. Prior to this, they cut all the tops of the cabs off. The QLs. We only had the QLs at the time. And they cut all the top of the cabs off. And we were saying, what they're doing this for? Why are they? You know, it's going along, it's been pouring down, we're going to get soaking wet. Ah, there's a reason. And that was the reason, was because when they were going on the ship and parked on top of each other, more or less, and if the cab, it was a queer wagon, the cab used to be up the top, the engine inside, red hot, you know, when it was warm, it was quite warm. You're inside, so I'd be sat there, and the engine there, and then the other driver there. And they took the cut about that far off the cabs.
About 6-7 inches then.
So that it was to do with packing, getting them in the other troopers, you know, transport. So we were saying, what about the lorries? Oh, they're coming. So all we had to do was get off, and when we got there, and that, like I say, it was unopposed as it happened.
Now where were you landing?
At Algiers.
Was it in the port?
Yes, right in the port itself. That was our first sight of the Arabs.
How did you view those when you saw them?
Funny enough, there was a. We had a Cockney with us, and he was very superstitious, and he looked out, out of the porthole. Because by this time we were being moved about, you know, ready for embarking, disembarking, I should say. And the first one he seen was an Arab, and it was cross-eyed. Nobby Clyde. Oh, my God, that's it, he said. I'll never get away from here. I'll never get back home, he said. I'm bound to be killed. He had it in his mind. He's seen this cross-eyed Arab. It was just funny. But anyway, we got off the ship.
And what were your first impressions when you got off?
Well, it was a lovely sight. sun shining on all the white houses, and I thought, oh, this is a great place, this, you know, bags of sun, and just like a picture postcard it was. And there was very busy, they were unloading all the time, but when our time come to unload, where are we going? Oh, we were going to the zoo, because that was like a meeting place. So there was wild rumours going around, like, you know, they'd let all the animals out, there's lions and God knows what not supposed to be roaming about, which was all untrue as it happened. The main thing was that the French had agreed that they wouldn't, because Churchill, we found out this afterwards, that Churchill had said, if they don't agree to it, we're going to sink the ships in the bay, and that's it. So you'll either in with us or not. So I think some of them, did get sunk. But that was more or less not our business at the time. All we were concerned about was marching up to the zoo.
You'll be following up the main infantry that had gone in, presumably. Yeah,
that's right.
So you landed on the side.
Just down marked the gangway. Just marched down there, laden with our stuff. When we got down there, there was a lorry come out from somewhere. I don't know where it was. And your kit bags was only threw your kit bag in the back of the lorry, and then we had the full marching order, the rest of them, and we were marching, making our way up to the zoo.
Your kit bags presumably would have your name and number, etc., on your unit.
Stenciled on. When we put them on, we thought, well, we hope we get them back again. You know, it's none too sure. And I wrote a poem about this later on when we were marching along. That was the time when we saw the officers, as you were saying before, we never seen. We were out there at the head of the column. So we're marching along, and just before we got out of Algiers on this road, there was a French couple, big, you know, must have been in his 30s or so. See, they didn't seem to bother about it. They thought, well, they weren't cowering or anything, you know, expecting to come off with guns or whatnot. So they must have been told that not to worry about it. It was going to be the Yanks used to go about with the stars and stripes on the Americanos, or with. We are the friends, like, we're going to liberate you and everything. So we're marching along with this couple. They were walking along hand in hand. And I'd never been abroad before. And they have these piseros or something, piserios, I think they call them, which were from there to there, and then just another bit where the men were just urinating. And this couple, he was in there, and he still had all of her hand. She was just stood outside. And I said, what the hell's he doing? And then we realised what he was doing.
Urinating.
While she was just still holding her hand, and there was plenty of cries. Like, yeah, dirty, brother, dirty. It was just normal for them. They never bothered them. The hygiene over there was terrible. And anyway, we were marching along. They obviously took a wrong turning, and they stopped. Everybody stopped. And they were shouting up towards the column, the officer. There's nobody there, read a map. And our sergeant Russell, he's coming along. I'll shoot the first man that drops out. Don't be so bloody stupid, Fred, you know. Where the hell are we going? You know, he was trying to be officious and whatnot. Anyway, they stopped, they turned round, column about turn, back down this road up to where the fork was, and got back on the right road. Then we marched up towards the gates, and this is when the officer March to attention. Goes through, cuts through to the our little spot. Stop, get our packs off. 239 had arrived at the war. Then there was the cooks had appeared from God knows where, and there was a hot meal for us. Then there'll be guards posted, and that was a big thing with me. Was alphabetical order. There was hardly any A's, so B. If we went anywhere, it was generally me and Brown and somebody else that were on guard the first night. And then by the time we went anywhere else, it had got forgotten, so you're on a guard again. And I played really hell about that once. I had a real row about it with our company clerk to get some sort of rota, proper rota, so everybody got a turn on it. That used to be rankle me when we that.
So the first impressions of the country was it was not too clean.
Well, we were. It looked all right on the post. I said it would look all right on a postcard. This, but with the Wogs, the Arabs, we were told don't leave anything laid about. They'll have it. And there were right bunch of thieves, like you know. But we were. We went to the this zoo and parked our stuff. Then we had to go. In groups the next day back down to the docks to pick our wagons up.